Welcome back to the show. Welcome back to White Spot Giants This Week, the home of Vancouver hockey and the home of the Giants Sportsnet 650. Dan O'Connor is my name, and for this next half of the show, we head north and we go to Prince George, where I am joined by a regular contributor to this show. His fifth season now behind the mic of the Prince George Cougars, Fraser Rogers. Welcome back to the show. Always great to chat with you, my friend. How are you doing?
Thanks for having me, Dan. It's always a pleasure to jump on and talk the WHL with you. And doing good, you know, one game into the season. We survived the home opener and now on to week two. Looking forward to it.
Let's just start right there, Fraser. What were the penultimate takeaways from game one? I mean, I know it's sort of pomp and circumstance and 580-odd days without a home game for a lot of these teams and all of this and all of that. And yet, now that we're removed from it, it's sort of this, okay, it's just one game out of 68. But that said, loaded question, what do you take away from game one?
Yeah, I know 5 years ago, I guess, you talked about me being my fifth year, I would have been maybe a little bit more invested in game number one. But I think, you know, under Mark Lamb and how patient he is as a GM and a head coach and as an analytical thinker, you can't take too much away from just one game of 68. As you just mentioned, it's a marathon, not a sprint. But, you know, the immediate reaction to me was, wow, this team can score goals. And we saw that in the preseason. Not much against the Giants, mind you, in that one preseason game in Maple Ridge. But in general, this team can score and score quickly and score in bunches. And that's something I've not seen in my 5 years since I've been a broadcaster here during this rebuilding process. It's been a team that, as you saw, had to work really hard to score in the last 4 years. Well, that's not necessarily the case. It comes more naturally this year. And it's a lot of the young guys leading the way, too. And we'll talk about them, I'm sure, in a moment. But I think as well, they showed their age a little bit. Second youngest team in the WHL at just over 17 and a half years old, the average age. So there's times on Saturday against a very good Kamloops team, I thought there's some green moments, particularly inside their own defensive end. Blue lined in, you know, some miscues, some missed assignments, some blown coverage, which led to some goals. But that's going to happen in game one, I think, of the regular season. I think the first month of the regular season's much like an extended preseason type of feel. You're working out the kinks, but there's a lot of exciting pieces to this team, especially when it comes to the offense. It's going to be a fun team to watch. There's going to be some roller coaster games, I think. But I think, yeah, I think it's going to be a maturation process in general going forward as this team shores up its own end and gets a little bit more cohesive.
The Prince George Cougars in the bubble last season, Fraser, I think were sort of in many ways, they were sort of the darlings of the BC division, because I think going in, those who know the team well, I'm sure were feeling kind of encouraged and optimistic about what the Cougars could be. But I think, being complimentary about it, I think that they took a lot of people by surprise for positive reasons. So with that, now that we are in a larger season with fans back in the stands, expectations, how have they changed for the Cougars, or have they changed for the Prince George Cougars, just sort of based on where things are at as far as the makeup of their roster, the youth that you alluded to, and just the way things are starting to come together?
Well, first of all, Dan, that's a great question. I think that's the biggest question is, how have the expectations changed? And I think that's, you know, something that is the talking point right now, because you talked about it last year, a very young team as well, lots of new faces in that hub. And as you mentioned, kind of the team that a lot of people thought, wow, this team is going to be very good in a couple years' time. Well, I think this year, I know it's only one, not even a full calendar year removed, but a season removed from the hub, there's more expectations. I think there's some welcomed pressure to be a team that's going to be fighting for one of the eight playoff spots in the Western Conference this spring. And I think there's internal expectations that this team is going to be a playoff team, and not just a playoff team, but maybe a team that can make some noise in the first round and maybe upset a team and make some noise that way. I think this roster would be greatly benefited from playoff experience this year, because I think the window to really make a noise in the Western Conference and in the WHL in particular is a season from now, in the 2022-23 season. So with that said, there's some internal pressure, welcome pressure, I think, coaching staff to players to veterans on this roster expect this to be a team that's going to be in a playoff position come mid-April when the playoffs start here in the Western Hockey League. And that's something I've never seen yet in my 5 years. I know it's been a rebuilding process through the draft and being patient with younger players and accumulating prospects and developing them. And it was always about experience, especially the Hub was about experiencing that WHL caliber hockey for so many young 04, 05 type of players that are with us last year. Now they've had that taste. There's an expectation to take another step, not only be competitive against the very good teams, but make some hay in the standings and be a team that's going to be really hard to play against once the regular season winds down and the playoffs come around. They expect to be one of those eight teams that I think internally they want to be not just an eighth seed, but a team that's going to be 5-6 even in the standings. So it's exciting to hear that type of chatter around the team. And with that pressure, though, there's going to be expectations and pressure. So it's going to be really interesting to see how that team, a young team, handles the weight of that.
Fraser Rogers is the voice of the Prince George Cougars. He is my guest on White Spot Giants this week. Fraser, Johnny Hooker named captain of the Prince George Cougars. Why?
That's, you know, it's funny because from the outside, a lot of people maybe are surprised because Johnny Hooker, you know, he's been a solid WHLer ever since he came in as a 16-year-old, you know, really heady two-way player, but maybe not the flashiest name from an outside perspective. But internally, it made a lot of sense. Just the way he carries himself off the ice and on the ice, he's one of those prairie guys, and you know about them, those guys from Alberta, Saskatchewan, and Manitoba. He from Winnipeg. They just, you know, have this really mature, down-to-earth type of mentality and personality, really sincere guy. And I think for the younger players, he's a 20-year-old, is someone you want to model yourself after. He doesn't take shortcuts in practice or in games. He plays with integrity and honesty and plays hard at both ends of the ice, not just the offensive end, but he puts work in at the defensive end. And he's just a guy that you would want to model yourself after in the Western Hockey League. He's respectful to the rookies, to his veterans. He has an immense amount of respect from the coaching staff. That was something that was really touched on by GM head coach Mark Lamb when I asked him why he's the captain. He's got respect to the dressing room, and not just the players, but the coaching staff. Just a mature 20-year-old player, and I know the Giants have had a rich history of that in your organization the last several years with your captains, and he kind of reminds me of past Vancouver Giant captains, just someone that carries himself the right way, plays an honest hockey game, and I think has respect to his peers in the league as well. You know, I think when people talk about him around the league, you say that's a good, hard-nosed, honest hockey player, and I think that's the example Mark wants on the ice in practice, on the ice in games, and off the ice as well in the gym, is he just puts the work in that needs to be put in, doesn't take shortcuts, and he treats everybody with a lot of respect and class.
Fraser, when you look at the, I realize we're a long way away from the 2022 NHL draft, but when you look at guys who are now on the radar with this Prince George Cougars team, Kyren Gronick, Keaton Doheniuk, flash forward 2 years from now when all of a sudden you're talking about Riley Height and Cohen Zeemer, Hudson Thornton is another name, Ty Brennan, another name. Kind of a two-parter here for you. Just a thought about sort of how they are handling that sort of, you know, that conversation where lists and all of those things start to kind of enter the fray, enter the noise a little bit that sort of surrounds a junior hockey team. And sort of a separate question that sort of ties in, if you can kind of follow the bouncing ball here. I've been in Prince George in the coffee shops when the team is struggling, and it's almost like, get me out of here. I can't get out of here fast enough, because you've got the old, loyal, faithful following of this team that just can't wait to pick your brain about what's going wrong. Now, I've also been in that city when you're winning a division and you are the cream of the crop in the BC division, and it is a great place to be. Tell me about the coffee shops. Tell me about the grocery stores, the pubs, the golf course, the banter that you're hearing from the community when it comes to the youth that I alluded to a little bit earlier in this Iditarod of a question that I'm trying to ask you.
No, like the first part, you know, handling the pressure of the draft, that's a very good point. You talked about guys, Kyren Gronick, a little anecdote about him. I interviewed him like right after one of the first scrimmages at training camp. You know, at social media, we do those training camp recap videos. I know you were doing them as well for the Giants. And Gronick was one of my first subjects. And felt me asking, he brought up the NHL draft saying, I need to start well. It starts in training camp because I need to have a good year. It's my draft year. So Gronick is very aware where he needs to establish himself, where the bar needs to be raised. And so far, he's taken a huge step, in my opinion, even since the Hub, where he really impressed as maybe one of the best underrated players for the Cougars in the Hub. Coaches raved about him as just an all-around player. But he is very much aware that, you know, he needs to have a good year, both for himself personally and from the expectations that the staff have for him. And that goes with the guys you mentioned as well, like Keaton Dohaniuk, Tyler Brennan, Hudson Thornton. Hudson Thornton, to me, might just be one of the dark horse players from that 2003 WHL draft class, not just for Prince George, but in that draft. It's an immensely deep draft class, that 2003 group in the Western Hockey League. But what I've seen from him, it blows me away. He had a three-point night on Saturday. He was such a stud in the preseason, had an end-to-end goal against Victoria in the preseason that had the Bobby Orr finish to it as he was falling and shooting. But on Saturday, he was just a huge piece on the blue line and so mature as well. I think Hudson Thornton is probably a year from now. We're going to talk about him being the captain for the Prince George Cougars. And Tyler Brennan in net, a lot of buzz about him because like Thornton, he's a late 03 birth year. And there's a lot of buzz about him. You know, World Under 18 gold medal last year with Team Canada in Dallas, winning that championship, that loaded team, and had a good Hub season, albeit four games. And he's, you know, expected to be another great starter in the WHL. Like Taylor Gauthier has been for the Cougars. So I think there's some internal pressure on themselves. They want to do well. It's a, you know, good two-year window. You mentioned it for the draft, like Riley Hype and Cohen Ziemer next year as well. And there's some buzz about that, not just in Prince George, but across the Western Hockey League about our players. And to answer your second part, from the fan side of things, there's a ton of buzz. And I like how you brought the coffee shop aspect, because I watched Saturday as the clock was ticking down, and it struck zero, and the game was over, and Kamloops poured off the bench to celebrate their win. There was fans giving the Cougars a standing ovation despite the loss. Several fans, I mean, I would say a few hundreds, stood up and gave them a standing ovation because that's how impressed they were. I think it's just about the compete level and the battle and the excitement of the team. And I think the coffee shops right now are really happy and really excited because this team can score. It can come back. They were down 3-0 on Saturday. They came all the way back to tie that game 3-3 at one point, and then were down 4-3 and tied it. So it's an exciting team, and I think there's some really good buzz about this team. Now, buzz only gets you so far. You have to start producing results at the same time. So that's the next step, and this team, I think, will start winning some hockey games very soon as well. But, you know, the draft buzz, the, you know, the performance buzz is definitely there in the coffee shops around town. And that's exciting to see because, as you mentioned, it's a good point. I haven't seen it since my time in Prince George, the positive energy, but it's definitely palpable here in the community.
Few more questions for Fraser Rogers, voice of the Prince George Cougars here on White Spot Giants this week. What did you think of Kamloops?
As advertised, a dynamic offensive team. I think Logan Stengelman is even better than he was last year, and he was terrific in a limited role in the Hub before he left for the World Under-18s. You know, got drafted by Dallas. Dallas, I think, is going to be very happy where he fell to them in the draft, and I think he has a burr under his saddle because of maybe his draft stock tumbling a little bit come draft day. But boy, you're going to be impressed by Logan Stengelman despite his size. John Keane actually mentioned this on his Twitter, the voice of the Blazers, saying Stengelman looks faster, and he was a fast player last year, and he is faster this year. He had a great shorthanded chance right away in the opening first minute of the game when the Cougars got a power play on Saturday. He's blew by everybody with the puck, shorthanded, and had a great chance, and Tyler Brennan had to actually make a really good save. And his release is pro, an NHL release for Logan Stengelman, and the other players just as good as they were last year. They're better. They're deep up front. You know, the guys like Caden Bankier, Matthew Semenoff, Josh Piller, Fraser Minton, Connor Levis, a really good group of young forwards with skill and speed and size. And on the back end, former Giant Marco Staka looked terrific. He played a ton because they're missing some veteran pieces like Quinn Schmiemann and Victor Pershawn, who's with the Abbotsford Canucks, but just got reassigned yesterday. But on a young blue line on Saturday, I thought Staka was so good, the former Giants defenseman. He ate up a ton of minutes. He joined the rush. He looks even better than he was last year for Vancouver. And Gillibrand made the saves he needed to make. Maybe one or two goals he probably wanted back, but that's night one. But yeah, the Kamloops Blazers, dynamic, deep up front, deep on the blue line, and have a world-class goalie as well.
What intrigues you about the 2021-22 Vancouver Giants?
Well, what bugs me is how good they're going to be again. I was wondering, you know, is there ever going to be a drop-off with this group, you know, that window closing? But, you know, credit to Barclay and Michael Dick and Barclay Barnetta, the management coaching staff. You guys assembled what looks like a great team again. And maybe, if it all comes together, the best line of Western Hockey League was Zach Ostapchuk, Justin Sortif, and Fabian Lizell. Like, it's going to be a dynamic group up front for the Vancouver Giants. And I think I haven't seen them yet with my own eyes, but, you know, NHL drafted goalie and Jesper Vikman and Nett as well. And a blue line that's coming back, a lot of returning players. I think Vancouver is going to be a really tough team. Michael Dick teams are coached so well. They play with such good structure. They're hard-nosed. They're so hard to play against. You add those guys like Justin Sortif, who might be, I think, the leading scorer in the Western Conference this year. I know Seth Jarvis will have something to say about that in Portland probably, but we saw what Sortif did a year ago in the Hub, and arguably the best player in the Hub, without a doubt, was Justin Sortif. You know, Tristan Nielsen also very good last year, but Sortif is so fun to watch and richly deserved that contract from the Florida Panthers just announced a week ago. I think the Giants are going to be a really tough team. I think you guys have a lot of depth in all the areas. And as I mentioned, coach so well, it's never easy playing Vancouver. And they just look like a team that's ready to make a playoff push already with what they have on paper.
Well, I got you here, Fraser. What about the Kelowna Rockets? What about the Victoria Royals? Just give me sort of an anecdote or a thought or an opinion about what you're going to see from those two groups this season.
Yeah, I think that's the two kind of intriguing teams for me, is those two teams. You know, Kelowna still has a lot of players that are going to be very dynamic. Obviously, they made a huge splash with that trade last week, sending Trevor Wong to Saskatoon and getting, you know, Colton Dock back in a blockbuster trade. And Dock, a Chicago Blackhawks drafted player, is going to be their number one centerman. And then they have a really good number two centerman in 16-year-old Andrew Kristol, who's, you know, their first round draft pick from 2020. And I think they still have a lot of young pieces, you know, from the Hub last year that are going to be prominent players as well. You know, they've made some trades, obviously, to retool the team, but I think they still have a lot of pieces that are going to be, you know, surprising. Obviously, Caden Korsak being in professional ranks, a defenseman, will be a significant hole in the blue line. You just can't replace a talent like that. But you still look at good veteran Tyson Feist, you know, on the blue line will be someone, Jake Lee as well, two big horses back there. And I think a team that still has enough to be really tough to play against. And they expect a lot, I think, against guys like Dylan Whiteman and Nolan Flamin, you know, local products that got that taste last year. So maybe not the superpower Rockets we've seen a few years ago, but you just can't count out those Bruce Hamilton Kelowna Rocket teams. They always find a way to be near the top of the standing. So that's one team I think is still going to be a very tough out. And Victoria, you know, I haven't seen with my own eyes yet. You had a taste of them a week ago. I think they're in a rebuilding process, and that's fair to say after, you know, having a very good 4 or 5 year run the last few years here. But there's still some pieces there that, you know, if you sleep on them, they're going to make you pay. There's no easy team in the Western Hockey League. It's a great hockey league, and you cannot sleep on any team. I know Victoria might take, you know, some lumps this year as they get, you know, molding. It reminds me of the Cougars team I stepped into in my first year with Prince George 5 years ago. But there's still a lot of pieces in Victoria. You know, Keanu DeRungs, Taryn Fizer, when he's healthy and coming back, that can really hurt you. So I think this division is going to be really tough. I thought maybe it could be a down year for the BC division, but then quickly in the last few weeks, you look at it on paper and know this is going to be a very tough division and maybe one of the best divisions in the Western Hockey League this year.
And Fraser, I'll just leave you with this thought, and this is sort of more of a generality when you talk to ownership, you talk to fellow broadcasters, you talk to players, coaches, and just the sheer fact of the WHL back this past weekend with fans in the stands. It's not quite, 5,800 and a sellout on opening night at the CN Center, but it's progress, and it's a step in the right direction as far as getting, you know, a season completed safely and successfully. What does that just sort of mean to you personally as a fan of this game, a fan of this league, and just being able to sort of host a home game again and the emotion that sort of came with it?
Yeah, there's goosebumps definitely on Saturday night with the fans. And obviously there's a 50% capacity limit in BC with our five teams. But the 50% felt like 100%, I thought, on Saturday. The energy they had, it was about 2,500 fans for the Cougars, but they sounded like 5,000. The first goal the Cougars scored when Hudson Thornton made it 3-1, that gave me goosebumps. You know, seeing his reaction, just the emotional release when he scored, the look on his face, the way the team celebrated, and then definitely when the team made it 3-3, when Riley Heights scored, this place was going bananas, and it gave you goosebumps. You got a little emotional and got a little choked up, because you forget the energy. When you say scores on the broadcast, it was crickets in Kamloops in Kelowna a year ago. It felt weird. The bench could hear you. I know we talked about that last spring, but to hear the fans in your headset and that deafening noise, even though, you know, at a limited capacity, it was great. And, you know, just a testament to the league office, you know, what they've done, all the owners as well, to get this back to a regular season. Hats off to them, because it was special to see that again on Saturday.
Really looking forward to hosting you and the Prince George Cougars to the Langley Event Center this weekend, Fraser. It will be great to have you back here, my friend. So safe travels, enjoy the week of practice, and thank you, as always, for making time for me and making time for this show. Looking forward to seeing you, buddy.
Sounds great. Thanks, Dan. Appreciate it. Look forward to it.
Fraser Rogers is the voice of the Prince George Cougars, my guest here on White Spot Giants this week. A big thanks to him. A big thanks to Connor Horning. And as well, a big thanks to you for making this broadcast a part of your Monday evening. I'm Dan O'Connor. We will see you Friday night at the LEC for the home opener, a game you can hear on Sportsnet 650. Good night. Be safe. Be well. We'll talk to you soon.